Last week, as some of you know, I had the privilege of participating in the final week of the No Lao Leadership Institute, the UCC-sponsored leadership development program that I've been a part of for most of the past year. As part of that, I had the good fortune of listening to a presentation by the Reverend Dr. J.J. Flagg. And I'd like to share some of that with you this morning. But before I do that, let me tell you a little bit about J.J. A native of Miami, J.J. has a Master's of Divinity from Princeton. He has a Doctor of Ministry from Drew University. An ordained UCC minister, he's currently serving a Baptist church in North Carolina. J.J. is also a husband and a father to two young girls, and he's disabled. Born with cerebral palsy, J.J. is now confined to a wheelchair. In his time with us last week, J.J. spoke about disability and leadership, two topics he is intimately acquainted with. And as part of his presentation with us, J.J. led us in some Bible study, using a parable from the Gospel of Luke that talks about the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Language, by the way, which J.J. was quick to point out, has long since passed into disuse for describing people who are disabled, with the appropriate terminology now being either simply disabled or people with disabilities, not crippled, not lame, not handicapped. But using that passage as an example, J.J. asked us to consider reading the scriptures with a hermeneutic of suspicion. And if that word sounds unfamiliar or a little too heady or seminary-like to you and you're considering tuning out, or if that word sounds delightfully heady to you and it draws you in, let me just say that however the word hermeneutic strikes you, it's basically just a fancy way of saying a particular lens through which you interpret scripture. The tools that you choose to use to interpret sacred text. The perspective from which you work to understand what's being said in our holy writings. So in other words, when J.J. suggested that we read the gospel passage with a hermeneutic of suspicion, he was inviting us to read it with a healthy dose of skepticism. To interpret the biblical text with eyes wide open for things we maybe hadn't seen before, with hearts that were searching for interpretations we had not considered before. And we did that as a group with the passage that he had chosen from Luke, and it was powerful. And most of us, I think, came away with new and different insights. And again, that was less than 2 weeks ago. So I couldn't help thinking about that as I considered this morning's passage. As I begin, here are some of my thoughts, some of what my thoughts would have been prior to J.J.'s presentation. So here is a man who had been blind his entire life. A man who needed help. A man who clearly needed healing. Because obviously, we need to be able to see in order to function in the world. Or at least that's the ideal. That's what's desirable. But this poor guy was blind from birth. That made it very hard to function normally in the world, particularly at that time. For starters, the practical reality of his blindness left him socially marginalized. Unable to support himself, he had to rely on the people around him for his survival. The reality of this man's blindness meant that the people around him, whether out of kindness or pity or feelings of obligation, perhaps, bore the burden of caring for him. This man whom they who were not blind, who were not disabled, who were normal, saw as less than, as not worthy of respect, as hardly worthy of their attention, as lacking worth in general. And if that wasn't enough to add salt to the wound, his blindness, as we heard, was understood to be a consequence of sin. Without giving it a second thought, everyone around him believed that either he or his parents were somehow to blame for his being born blind, that either he or his parents had done something really bad, and whatever that bad thing was, that's what had resulted in him being born blind. So not only was this man a social outcast, living on the margins of polite society, he had lived his entire life with the emotional and spiritual burden of being held responsible for his own blindness. Somehow it was his fault. So as a good, caring person who doesn't want others to suffer, how could I have read that story and not seen this man as someone who needed help? As a person who lives with the gift of sight, and certainly would wish that for everyone, and as a compassionate person of faith, how could I have read this story and not viewed this man as someone in need of healing? So that was then, and this is now. Having been introduced to the hermeneutic of suspicion, I had to ask myself, as I considered the story of the man born blind, what am I not seeing? No pun intended. What have I been missing in the ways that I have always read and interpreted and heard interpreted this story? What other ways could there be to consider what this passage might have to say to us today? So here are some of my thoughts and questions and wonderings now. The man born blind clearly lived on the margins of society, begging literally to survive. But maybe it wasn't his lack of sight that kept him there. Maybe instead it was a lack of understanding on the part of the people around him. And I'm not talking about the Pharisees or just the Pharisees, but the normal everyday folk around him. What if he, in fact, was just as he was meant to be? And it was the people around him who were in need of healing. What if his being born blind was exactly what God had in mind? And it was the people around him who needed clearer vision. What if what truly kept this man living on the edges was the perception of those around him? As I said earlier, that obviously we need to be able to see in order to function in this world, or at least that's the ideal. That's what's desirable for everyone. What if that kind of thinking was what really kept the blind man marginalized? Thinking that possibly went something like this: seeing is necessary and it's normal, and he can't see, therefore there's something abnormal about him. There's something wrong with him that needs to be righted. There's something broken in him that needs to be fixed. But it can't be fixed. And that makes him different, and that makes him not like us, and that makes us uncomfortable. So let's just keep our distance so that we can feel better. The hermeneutic of suspicion leads me to wonder if maybe the man's blindness, that we who have sight understand as a disability, if maybe his incompatibility from our perspective with the perceived ideal, which in this case is to have sight, wasn't actually what kept him from fully participating in life or what needed healing. The hermeneutic of suspicion leads me to wonder if what kept him from fully participating in life, at least in part, and what needed healing was the incapacity of those around him to expand their understanding of what's normal, what's desirable, what's ideal. The hermeneutic of suspicion leads me to wonder if what kept him from fully participating in life and what needed healing was the incapacity of those around him to expand their understanding of what's worthy of respect. What's worthy, period. It leads me to wonder if those are actually the things that kept him marginalized and what really needed to be healed. Maybe the man born blind wasn't the one who couldn't see. So for us now, today, as people of faith, the questions seem to be, how well do we see? How expansive is our vision of what's normal, what's desirable? What healing do we need with regard to our understanding of what's worthy of respect, of who's worthy, period? I invite you to consider race, ethnicity, and citizenship status, sexual orientation, and gender identity. With or without conscious awareness, what do we consider normal? Think political party. Think educational and/or socioeconomic level. Think marital status. With or without acknowledging it, what do we consider desirable? Think mental illness or addiction. Think criminal record or incarceration. Think body size and type and level of ability or disability. Whether we're cognizant of it or not, what do we consider worthy of respect? Think of all the ways that we describe and define ourselves and one another, and then make judgments about what's normal and what's abnormal, what's desirable, what's undesirable, what's okay and good, and what needs to be fixed. Judgments about who or what has value and who or what does not. Maybe the man born blind wasn't, in fact, the one who needed to be healed. Amen.